Many see the move as an attempt to head off even deeper defense budget cuts by Congress in the future. Chief Procurement Officer for the Pentagon, Ashton Carter, calls it a move to avoid broken and canceled defense programs, uncertainty in the acquisition market, and lost warfighter capabilities, as much as it is to save the $100 billion they hope to save over the next 5 years. Defense Secretary Robert Gates puts it another way.
Achieving these goals will benefit both government and industry, because higher performance should naturally lead to higher financial reward, profit. Indeed, a number of changes being issued today are designed to create incentives for increasing productivity and innovation. For example, by expanding the Department of the Navy's preferred supplier program to all of the Department of Defense. This program will reward those contractors that have demonstrated superior performance in delivering quality products and services affordably and on time. We are also increasing the use of contracts in which the benefits of productivity and the cost of overruns are shared by contractors and the department. This method is being applied to the Joint Strike Fighter, where we need and expect to begin reversing the cost growth that led me to restructure the program and change its management last year. In another form, it could lead to a multi-year contract for the next buy of the F-A-18, a win-win for government and industry that will save $600 million.
Secretary Gates also wants to continue the effort in changing how the Pentagon does business. He then wants to redirect that money toward modernizing military equipment and helping the warfighter. He points to several ongoing programs where they can start.
We will be initiating several new and needed programs in the near future, including the Next Generation Ballistic Missile Submarine, the Ground Combat Vehicle, long-range strike systems for the Air Force and Navy, and the Marine Corps Presidential Helicopter. The acquisition cost of these new programs will probably be somewhere over $200 billion. So designing to affordability and not just desire or appetite is critical. According to the guidance being outlined today, affordability will be incorporated right at the beginning as a firm requirement for each new program. So, for example, we don't end up with another half-billion-dollar presidential helicopter. This emphasis on affordability is already being applied to the Next Generation Ballistic Missile Submarine, where we are trimming requirements without compromising critical capability. The per-unit estimated cost had risen as high as $7 billion. It is now roughly $5 billion. The goal is a reduction of fully 27% in a program where total cost is expected to be more than $100 billion.
One aspect of the plan Ashton Carter calls critically important is offering incentives to industry to be more innovative and productive.
And the way to reduce cost and therefore the price to us is to incentivize the reduction of cost. One of the important ways of doing that is through profit. And so we just are going to make sure that we're giving the right incentives to our contractors to reduce cost and not giving them perverse incentives that cause them naturally to build in unnecessary cost. We're doing that with contract structures. We're doing that with how we calculate fee for subcontracted work by a prime contractor. The Secretary mentioned the Navy's preferred supplier program. It's a little like a frequent flyer program. Those performers of our work who consistently do a good job and whom we measure to consistently deliver value for the warfighter to the Department of Defense, we will give preferential treatment to. That will benefit them financially. Adjusting progress payments to incentivize performance addresses the question of cash flow, which is important in any business. And so in addition to the overall price we pay, the way we flow cash is an important business incentive, and it should be incentivizing the productivity that is good for both us and for industry.
A third part of the plan is what Carter calls encouraging real competition between contract bidders. He gives as an example of how business as usual just hasn't been working. The attitudes displayed, he says, at the beginning of the construction of the littoral combat system.
Two builders of ships who had begun to suggest to us that they thought they could both stay in business. and would stay in both stay in business indefinitely. And the prices that we were being asked to pay were suggesting that kind of behavior. We decided we had to interrupt that dynamic. And we did, and the savings that we expect to realize are very substantial from that. That's having real competition as opposed to the appearance of competition, which is you're buying two of something, but you don't have the real dynamic of competition. We need to learn to tell the difference and make sure that we have real competition wherever we can possibly have it, because it's the greatest driver of productivity. And we have a number of steps to do that. We have looked at the data that we have on competitive bidding in the department. There are a substantial number of competitive offerings where we, in fact, do not receive more than one bid. We're looking very hard at that. Why is that?
Improving tradecraft and services acquisition is also part of the plan. Another cycle that needs to be interrupted, Carter says, is the waste in time and money to government as well as contractors caused by the bureaucratic process across the department. He maintains the goals are reasonable and responds to the doubtful by asserting the plan contains specific actions with specific metrics attached. As far as Congress goes, he offers a note of optimism in pointing out last year's bipartisan unanimous vote for a legislative package related to defense spending reform. Lawmakers have rejected efforts to kill a second engine being developed for the Lockheed F-35 fighter by General Electric and Rolls-Royce, but Gates scored a victory Tuesday when the Senate Defense Appropriations Subcommittee included nothing in its 2011 budget proposal for the alternate engine. I'm Scott Carr, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.